Sprint cars, super late models, thunder cars, modifies, World of Outlaws, Arcas, all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, fame, short tracks. All the way to the high banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
Here's your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Racetime Radio. How you doing tonight? Sure glad you could tune in and take a couple of hours here. We're going to get you totally up to date, or at least as much as we can, over the next 2 hours. I am Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr., right here in the RTR studio, all set and ready to go for another 2 hours. What's going on, Junior? How did you like today's cartoons?
iRacing cartoons. Man, it's a lot of fun. Everybody's having a tremendous amount of fun with this deal. Online, obviously. You know, it's as good as you can get right now with everything going on in the world. I think that, you know, Bristol lived up to its infamy online.
How about even in virtual reality type stuff here? You got Bubba, you know, quitting the game. You got Clint Bowyer saying he got bubba'd. You had Landon Castle that was having a great run, ended up destroying his cartoon.
Yep.
It was quite a race today.
It was. There's, you know, the last couple weeks, you know, the drivers have personalities, right? Drivers are all, you know, wired to finish in front of the next driver in front of them.
Yep.
And they're all wired to finish in front of all of the drivers. They all want to win.
Yep.
In this format, everybody has got the ability to win,
mm-hmm.
because if you've got the technique and you've got the luck and you've got the smoothness and you've got the tire conservation, everybody's on the same equipment. So the tempers flare anytime you show up to a racetrack and everybody in the pit area or a majority of the pit area has got a chance to win, you're going to tear some serious stuff up. Do you agree?
Well,
like, if you show up, you show up to a big late model show anywhere in North America, and if everybody in practice is within a tenth of a second of each other, there's going to be some big wrecks that night.
There's probably going to be.
And what you're seeing on iRacing is the fact that everybody has got the same equipment. They're all going roughly the same speed. You're relying on mistakes to capitalize on that. You're relying on track position. When somebody takes track position away from you, whether it's because they bumped you, because they hit you, because you got loose, they get fired up, they get pissed off, and they carry on. And, you know, we're seeing that. We've seen it, of course, a little bit on race number one. I think everybody just kind of took it as, hey, man, this is just for fun. It's for the fans. Race number one at Homestead, right?
Denny won that one.
There was lots of wrecks. Everybody giggled it off and you know, chalked it up to, we're playing a video game and this doesn't really matter.
Right.
Race number two rolls out. Of course, you see a little bit less wrecking because they had the big long green flag runs.
Yeah.
But when stuff did happen, you seen Daniel Suarez and Ty Dillon get into each other and you know, of course, ended up with Suarez trying to take out Ty Dillon intentionally.
Yeah.
You know, you seen more of that. You see more of the drama build up because these guys know in the back of their mind that, hey, the guy that's up there leading is in the exact same stuff that I am, and I'm running 32nd.
Right.
And there is nothing more frustrating in the world than knowing that. You know, knowing that you put yourself in 32nd. It's not anybody else's fault. You can't point at the crew chief. You can't point at anybody else. It's because of your driving, because of your luck, because of whatever.
Right.
You're back there. And, you know, that's a difficult pill for some of these guys to swallow. Of course, if you're at the top of this game, it's even worse. These guys have pressures, right? They want to look good. You know, you're seeing more and more of that. Now you take all of that, you bottle it up, and you take it to Bristol Motor Speedway. Of course, you're going to see tempers flare up.
Lots of cautions.
They're hard to control. These guys are not in their element. Some of them are. You know, the Timmy right. Hills of the world, the Garrett Smithleys of the world, Denny Hamlin, Dale Earnhardt Jr. Those guys have been sim racing for years. They're good at it.
Sure, they are.
Now a couple surprises to take away. Kyle Busch.
He's
was
getting
junk,
better.
Number
he
one.
Is getting
Race
better.
Number one, Kyle. I'd love to know how much time he spent this week, last week on the simulator, playing iRacing. But Kyle Busch, he's turned a corner, man. He's flying out there. He's doing a really good job. You know, another guy, Michael McDowell.
Yes.
McDowell, he's been right in there
right
in the top
there.
10. Not just saying it because he's a buddy. You know, he's doing a good job. But then you do have guys that are constantly on the struggle bus. And, you know, you look at, you know, the events that took place today. You touched on it. You know, Bubba Wallace, you know, got into it with Clint Boyer, wrecked right early in the race, had to use a reset, had to use a second reset, and then got into it with Clint Boyer, hit the X button and backed out.
See ya.
You know, it's called rage quitting.
Yeah.
I do it all the time in video games.
Yeah.
I you know, you get pissed off, it's easy. You just hit the off button.
Right.
You're done.
Reset it.
The difference being he's got sponsors in here now.
Yeah.
Right? Like
yeah.
We are all having fun with it. Everybody in the sport is having fun with it.
But it is on national television.
It's on national television, and you're representing the people who are on your car.
That's
You're not just playing a home video game in the comfort of your own home.
Yeah, and that's why Clint Boyer actually didn't go get that beer that he was talking to. He wanted.
Well, yeah,
he couldn't do it.
I mean, these guys are just having fun with it, and they're not collecting a check that's worth, you know, $100,000 or $200,000 at the end of the day right now, because they're not doing it. Now, the reason why they get to do it like this is
right.
because they are in that position on a given Sunday when COVID-19 isn't here.
Right.
But when you look at it, as much as we're all having fun with it and the results don't matter, the eyes are on you, and
sure.
public perception is equal to that of the $100,000 check that you get.
Mm-hmm.
So you see guys that aren't very good with it. Kyle Busch is a prime example of this. You know, if he's not very good when he shows up to the racetrack, he's pouty and he'll throw his helmet and he'll throw his steering wheel and
yeah.
he'll smash the roof and he'll cry and, you know, all those things. Not actually cry, but you
right.
know what I mean.
Yeah,
you'll get upset. In this case, he's taking it serious.
Yeah.
And you know... surprising to me that Bubba Wallace is struggling with it. You know, he's struggling with iRacing in general. And
well, he's one of the younger guys. You
yeah,
think he'd have
exactly.
a lot of experience with
yep.
it.
And, you know, and it's not a bad thing that he's not. He's not going to be a sim racer. Big deal. It doesn't matter. He's a cup racer.
Right.
But I will say that what took place today has a negative connotation to his cup driving style on that side because... you know, sponsors see that stuff. You're on national TV.
Right.
Now, one can argue no PR is bad PR. People talked about it.
Well,
if you wreck and you know, bad things happen and you generate negative PR isn't always a bad thing. And it's just you don't want to be painted into that corner.
Did he quit or
yeah,
did
no, he
not
just hit
have...
the X button and backed out.
Okay, so he didn't
yeah,
run
he,
out
no,
of
he,
redos or
Well,
whatever.
He ran out of redos.
Well, then you're out anyway.
Well, technically,
right.
You're out of the race. You're not able to win because you
well, you're not
you've
able to race,
car.
Are you?
Yeah, you, like his car wasn't killed, but
oh.
regardless, you know, it's just the perception of the whole thing. You know, throwing your helmet in and throwing the tea towel in and quitting is
not what you want to do.
Is not exactly the correct response. But so let's take it a step further. Now he's sponsored by Blue Emu. Now, Richard Petty Motorsports, and Richard Petty has been the flagship, you know, of Blue Emu, the arthritis cream that doesn't leave the stench and doesn't stain and all that stuff that you see the TV ads for all the time. Blue Emu has been a sponsor of Richard Petty for years.
Really?
Richard Petty has been the face of Blue Emu for oh, man, 15 years, 10, 15 years?
You know what? They haven't done a very good job with that car and that sponsor because I can tell you something right now.
In the U.S.
I did not know that on the 43 car.
Richard Petty does TV commercials in the U.S., right, for that. We don't get all the U.S. TV commercials up here.
Right.
But TV commercials and really, they advertise on MRN radio and stuff like that.
You say Blue Emu,
yeah.
Who I think of now, is Landon Gassel.
Well,
that's what I've seen over the last 2 weeks.
Exactly. So, but with that whole deal, you know, Blue Emu, I don't know whether it was a joke. I don't know whether it was whatever it is.
Right.
They said goodbye, Bubba Wallace.
I seen that
on
Twitter.
And like they straight up said goodbye. You're no longer driving for us now.
No longer driving our cartoon car.
Not exactly. But,
right.
But what does that do on the relationship
on the real side,
you would likely see Blue Emu on a Richard Petty Motorsports car at some point. I believe they were an associate sponsorship already because of the RPM side. It's definitely funny and interesting. It is the dark side of sponsorship, and I sent out a tweet, and I fully back them if they say goodbye because of the. You know, any time that somebody opens up their wallet, opens up their budget, and they give you $5 or $5 million, I don't care what it is. If they're sponsoring you to race a race car, you need it. If the results don't go your way, but you tried everything that you could, that's the risks of doing business.
Sure.
Now, at the beginning of the year on a short track level side, there has been more decks put on houses. There has been more fences put up and pools dug in the backyards because they got a sponsor and then just piecemealed a season together and raced.
Yeah.
That is detrimental to stock car racing in general.
Yep, it is. I agree.
I completely disagree. If somebody gives you $10 or gives you $1 million to go race,
right,
you need to perform and give the value of that funding that they gave you.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter if it's a race car or if it's a little league hockey team or a little league soccer team. If you sponsor that team needs to be playing baseball.
Sure.
It doesn't matter if it's a billboard at a hockey arena or a TV ad bought and purchased or a radio ad. If somebody gave Racetime Radio $10,000 and says, I want to sponsor your radio show, and then we just never ran the ads.
Yeah.
Or we ran the ads for the first 2 weeks, and they were contracted for the entire year.
Yep.
That is terrible business practices.
Sure it is. Sure it
now,
is.
You get
like
into a race
the other way.
If you get into a race situation, Landon Gassel, on the other hand, probably got the same amount of money that Bubba had to have Blue Emu on his car.
Right.
But you knew that Landon Gassel had Emu on or Blue Emu on his car.
Oh, yeah. He's
he
done
promoted
a great job
it.
With it.
He social media, you know, the heck out of it. You know, he built a neat little display behind himself. He had an in-car or a camera facing him, all those things, right?
Yep.
That's the difference of a guy that's going to have a sponsorship for a long period of time and a guy that's going to need to learn some lessons on sponsorship. And, you know, as much as we're talking harsh, you know, about it, as much as I am, you know, at the end of the day, it is still a video game and you know, it's a simulation and we're all having fun with it.
Right.
But it is an opportunity for grassroots racers to see the needs of activating a sponsor.
Yeah. The repercussions of doing it the wrong way.
If you do it the wrong way, you're not going to have sponsorship. And I, you know, as much as this is just fun and games that we're all, you know, just passing time
right.
on a Sunday watching some guys play around on their home simulators, I am a firm believer that, you know, this is an opportunity for drivers, not just a game that everybody's playing.
Well, let me tell you who we've got coming on the show tonight. We got lots to talk about, I can guarantee you that. Coming up first, we've got the number 99 in the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour out on Canada's East Coast. Craig Slonwhite is going to join the show tonight. Craig entertains in more than one way. He's not just a driver in the Pro Stock Tour, successful one, I might add, but he entertains in different ways. We're going to talk to him about that tonight and fill you in on that. We'll also hear tonight from another Pro Stock Tour driver. He races in the Maritimes. He works and lives most of the time in Fort McMurray, Alberta. He drives the number 31. His name is Chris Reed. Anybody that follows the Pro Stock Tour knows the Reed boys. There's Chris Reed and his brother Kyle. Tonight we're going to hear from Chris. We'll find out how the things are going, not only out west, but we'll find out how his race car's coming along for the 2020 race season. Also on tonight's show, a former, how about a cup champion that crew chief, of course, I'm talking about Cole Pern, Canadian. He is used to be with Martin Truex, championship crew chief, Cole, out in BC. And it's been a little while since we caught up with Cole, so we're going to check in with Cole Pern tonight and find out how he is, how he's making out. It'll be interesting to talk to him. We got lots of stuff to tell you about that has been transpiring in the industry. We hope to have some time to also take your calls tonight here on Race Time Radio. But we're going to hit this first break. When we come back, we're going to have Craig Slonwhite on this show. We'll catch up with him next. Stay with us.
This is Nick Cupolo, 99, Maryville Sportsman. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tiltload, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Race Time Radio in Nova Scotia.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Cheap Trick guitarist Rick Nielsen on Canada Talks.
The 17 albums of all different stuff, and we've never stopped touring. We never expected to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We never expected something for nothing. It was, you know, we spent our own money making our records, too, you know, and we did it, and we listened to people.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, Sirius XM Channel 167, and on demand with the Sirius XM app.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Perfect! Woo!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio
Channel 90.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey,
hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Race Time Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. Live tonight in the Race Time Radio studio. And what do you say we get to that hotline? And let's welcome in our first guest of the night. This driver is in the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour. He drives the number 99. He's out of Halifax, Nova Scotia, and he's with us tonight. What's going on there, Mr. Craig Slonwhite? How you doing?
Hey, buddy. Good. How you doing?
Fantastic. Well, I guess the best you could be, right?
Laying low. Right now alone.
Yeah, no kidding. How are things coming along for you out there? You guys staying safe and hunkered down or what?
Oh, yeah. Just spending a lot of time on the race car and working 50-50 from home. My job kind of entails me to be in the building at times, so kind of in and out. So it hasn't been bad for me.
Ah, are you one of the essentials, Craig, that you guys have to work? Or what do you do on a full-time basis?
Take after the facilities for Manulife here at our buildings in Halifax. So, the buildings are still open. People can still work. Everybody Manulife boys is working from home, but we still have some tenants that the building needs to stay open for. So kind of in and out and have a little bit of construction going on, just, some guys touching up paint here and there, so.
Yeah, that'll keep you busy.
That's my full-time gig.
Yeah, and you gotta keep the lights on, right? People, if they're in there, you guys got to keep the building going. This pretty scary deal that we're all going through now, but I pretty well believe that, like everybody else, this has got to get out of here, and the only way it's going to is if we stay apart.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, I think the very first part of all this was kind of like, oh, you got to be kidding me. This is not real. And then it gets more intense and more intense, and you get on different meetings and you hear some of the things, and it's just all of a sudden something clicked for me. It went, oh, man, this is big.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah, big.
The competitors, though, I will say this about that. If you like on social media, if you scroll through, a lot of you guys were isolated before. It's not like you guys have 10 people working on race cars in the shop. It's usually just you and your dad, or you and your brother, or you and you, not saying you or your like. I mean, you know, it's usually just the driver and their dad, or the driver and their best friend, you know, that lives right beside them. Or it's usually only a couple guys working in the shop, you know, on the Saturday night level. So it's not really changing much. Everybody's cars are just going to come together a little bit quicker right now through this period, right?
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. I mean, the only problem with that is with the whole, the self-isolation side of things, you can't have anybody from another household come in. I mean,
exactly.
Just on this sake of passing it around. So, I don't know, we got at the game kind of early before Christmas, and we, tickled the body up on the car, all that kind of fun stuff. So it's I've spent a lot of time over on it the last 3 weeks because I would do my normal job, and then when I worked from home, I worked right from in the garage here. So whatever break I would get, be half an hour, spend it on the car, or when I get home in the run of the night, just work on it until 10 or 11 o'clock. Like, I mean, I'm at the point where if we needed to race like next weekend, I could race.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. You're one of those guys that doesn't leave any stone unturned. I can guarantee you that. Last year, Craig, a brand new race car underneath you. What do you got this year? Same car with updated stuff or what?
No, absolutely not. That car got destroyed in Riverside. It needed a front clip. Yeah, that didn't work out so well. We chased our tail all year. Just couldn't get it figured out. So that car went back to North Carolina. And at the end of the year, we actually had to pull my old car out to race the last two races because obviously the other one needed a clip. So as it sits right now, it's my 2011 chassis that's here ready to roll. We kind of know that. We know what the car needs when we go to the racetrack. We're never blazing fast, but this car just seems to stay underneath of us from lap one to, let's say, 250. So I'll practice probably from 10th to 15th quick, and hopefully lap 50 we're somewhere in the top 10 and hunting for the win at the end of the race. So that's the car I'm in, my old car.
Isn't that the one that you won the Cat 250 with?
No, that was even a car before this one. This car here, we won two Riverglade Internationals with, and finished. So the year before last, I think we finished third. We finished third, like I'm going to say seven of like the 14 races I think that we entered that year, something like that. So it's consistent. Like we didn't win, obviously. Third place trophies here, looking at me in the face in the garage, aren't really the nice ones, but at least it was hardware. we found some problems after that year where we were running, we were probably down 30 horsepower everywhere we went. We had a distributor at Old Tooth, but it would still time up. So it was, we chased our tail kind of all year, but we were still getting the finishes. So you kind of overlooked that in a way. I'll never overlook it again. So
30 horse is 30 horse, right?
Yeah,
that's,
exactly.
It's normally $10,000. So, I mean, yeah. That's the cheapest way that you could find 10 grand.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Craig, looking at, obviously with an older car, and this is a conversation that gets passed around a lot. It'll be fun to have on the air. But looking at an older car, right, 2011, a lot of people would say that's not a real old car at all. In the racing world, it seems to be, you know, especially in the late model world right now, that seems to be a dinosaur, you know, when you talk to a majority of guys. But you ran very well with that car towards the end of the year. Talk a little bit about the reasoning why a team needs to have a new car now versus having an old car or an older car that performs the way that yours does. Talk a little bit about the flexes and the new technology, because, you know, I mean, I know, and everybody that is listening knows that Craig Slonwhite's going to be competitive in that car next year. So it's not, this is not going to make you not competitive. If you felt that it wasn't going to be competitive, you wouldn't do it. So,
no,
I mean, talk a little bit about the needs versus the wants in this sport, because I feel that the wants constantly outcost everybody in the sport.
Oh, the wants would outbudget the race car teams all around the country if they always chase the wants. And I mean, I guess I haven't really had the budget behind me to keep going for the wants, because if that's the case, you'd have no budget. But we were fortunate enough last year to team up with Gary. Gary Crooks bought Port City, and you know, we were hoping for big things up here. We were actually hoping to try and set the world on fire and sell him some cars up here. And that's just, you know, we come off of a season with my old car going, man, we finished third in the points. We sat within striking distance of the championship that whole year. And it was Gary buying Port City, us being friends, like, let's put a deal together and show them what we can do. And it wasn't a lack of trying, I can guarantee you that. Gary was up like three or four times. We tested the car down south. I would have swore it was the best feeling race car I've ever sat in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get up here and you know, our tracks up here are so much different. Some are real bumpy, a couple are smooth. Bump stop package and stuff that we had on the new car. I don't know. We just chased our tail the whole year. So listen, at the end of the day, everybody wants new technology because it's what the high dollar teams are always doing. Those guys are winning all the time. So why would you not want that new car, the new wheel bearings, new brakes, new, no drag on any bearings? You know, I mean, obviously all that new stuff, you should be faster. You should be.
Should be.
However, when you got this 2011 dinosaur race car that you know when you go to the racetrack, you're going to pull a 16th pack rotor to the left front and put it in the right front. You might switch it back. You might go an eighth. You might put a turn on the sway bar, and you might go half inch up or down on the track bar. And that's where your baseline is for the whole day.
Exactly.
And you know that I try and... You know, actually, someone asked me this the other day. They were like, you know, who do you compare yourself to, you know, on the Maritime Pro Stock Tour? And Sean Tucker would practice from 10th to 15th every week. He would be the guy that no one, like, you know, you're not trying to win practice, or he never won practice. You don't get paid to win practice. And he was always that guy that was just Mr. Consistent, right? He would practice 10th to 15th. But 50 left in the race, that black car was not beating your bumper off, but he was there, and he contended, won races, won championships, and that's where I feel I am with this old car. I feel confident enough that I can go to the racetrack, We know where our baseline is, and within one practice, we can probably get it close. Second practice, tune it to where I feel it's going to be competitive. Third practice, size your tires. So, I mean, at the end of the day, am I going to go to the racetrack and win this year? That's what I'm going for. Absolutely. I'm going to win every race. I'm going to win the championship. I mean, that's if a driver said that they weren't going to do that, they're telling you a total lie. But is it realistic? No. Man, we're racing against Blankhorn, Butcher, like Rolly's car when it's at the racetrack. Man, I mean, there's guys that can come in, win week in, week out, but those boys are on their game. Dylan and Cole, obviously, we chase them week in, week out. I hope I can be either on their bumper or them on my bumper. I mean, that's my goal this year with this old car, is to hope that the consistency pays off. Is it the prettiest looking thing? No. No, I mean, the body looks good, yeah, sure, but, you know, the chassis is, again, it's 2011. It flexes. It's not new steel. I mean, and people claim that you take a couple hits, and these cars aren't good. Well, man, I've had this car backed into the fence. I think it's got 3 rear clips on it now. I mean, we just keep putting it back to where Jig says, okay, you're straight, and go back to the racetrack, and the car doesn't let us down. So, I mean, the want to have all the new stuff, yeah, if you can afford it, sure. Everyone's going to do what they can afford it. But there is guys. Look at Chris Hughes last year, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Hughes had a car put together. It was an ancient old donkey. And they just spent time on making it go in circles consistent. And, I mean, he was in the top 5 a lot of the time. So that right there, if you put your time in and you have something underneath of you that you know, man, there you can pull off wins.
Nothing feels better than that old pair of jeans that you really, really cherish. The ones that have got the rip in them, the tear in them, they fit right, they feel right, and nothing feels like that. We're with Craig Slonwhite, driver of the number 99 in the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour. He's out in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and getting ready for 2020. Craig, not only do you entertain when you get in that 99, but one thing I noticed on Facebook just last week, it's huge. Out in Nova Scotia, out in the Maritimes, kitchen parties are happening today. Everybody's sort of in the house and trying to do what's right. And lo and behold, I'm scrolling through, and I see you with a guitar in your hand. I had no idea, Craig Slonwhite, that you played guitar. But, man, you were a hit in the kitchen party department. How did that all come together?
That was, oh, man. The whole, well, anyway, somebody in Nova Scotia put this, again, COVID-19 online kitchen party. Let's just play tunes and let's listen in to some local talent and keep people somewhat sane. Like, music is big in the world, but the East Coast, there's so much talent here. People, you would walk into somebody's house not knowing they ever played the guitar and pick it up and just bang off whatever you want to hear. I grew up kind of in a musical family. My grandparents played. I was always around it. My dad is phenomenal. They never played in no bands. They were just, you know, they were camp kitchen party kind of people, and I always sat back and I always used to like listening to them, and I used to like listening and singing. And I only picked the guitar up. I mean, I obviously had a passion for it, and I picked one up years ago now, and just self-taught myself in front of YouTube, just because I loved it and had the passion for it. And I mean, that's when we go to the racetrack. I have a pretty decent following with us, and that's one thing that we make sure we always have with us is the guitar. So the kitchen party thing, there's some people on there that should be on the radio. It's crazy. For me, I got 250 videos on my phone of getting through it and then cursing at myself because I screwed up. But it's one of those things to hit that submit button is almost more terrifying. Well, I mean, I can hop, I can get in the race car and not get, you know, as worked up as what it was to hit submit on that friggin' kitchen parody video. But it was cool. I mean, it was cool. A lot of friends were saying, you know, put something on. I just said, the hell with it. Might as well do it. And none of us are looking for record labels. It's for a good time, so.
I will say this about that. You mentioned there's a lot of musical involvement there. So I've been to two Cat 250s. One Cat 250. And I've been to two. I've been to Scotia Speed World twice.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, one of them, it was the Cat 250 because there was the big, you know, camping area out back.
Yeah.
And I, you know, indulged in a couple
beers.
Imagine
that.
There was a few beers had, you know, afterwards. And that was one of the things that I always say about it is I was blown away at how many people. Like, I went to probably 10 campfires, and at six of them, there was guitars. Now, I'd never seen that. Like, it's something that you don't see in Ontario at a short track. You don't see people playing, you know, music themselves.
Really?
But at the Cat 250, like, I mean, like, I'm not lying. There was six, at six different campfires out of 10, there was people playing music. And so I say this now, have you ever done that at the Cat 250? Because I probably sat there and listened to you.
Oh, God, yeah. We'll do it at almost every race, really.
That's cool. Yeah.
The 250s are obviously the big ones for us. I bought a PA system to even take the racetrack with us. And, man, I've got so many friends that are really good. Just pass them the guitar and let them go.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Incredible. Craig, you are a talented individual. You're going to have another kitchen party in the near future that we can point everybody at so we can actually tune in and have some fun with you?
Oh, I imagine I'll do another one. I'm picking it up out here in the garage every night, kind of just... It's actually making people pick their guitars up that haven't picked them up in a long time. And it's made me pick mine up a whole lot more and try and even get a little bit better. And I'll put something else on, I imagine.
That's cool. Now, people can follow you along. What, Facebook, Twitter? Tell everybody how they can follow along.
For me, it's mainly just Facebook. So Swan White Motorsports or my name, Craig Swan White. But Twitter, I lost the password to my Twitter account about 10 years ago and haven't been into it since.
2012 so the last tweet was 04/17 2012. So that was a long time ago, man. You got to get that password back.
You know, I tried to email Twitter to say cancel that damn account because I know you guys put it on all the time and the tour always put that Swan White 99 and I'm like, man, I'm not even connected to that thing. now just Facebook with Swan White Motorsports or my name is that's my only source of social media.
Well, I'll tell you what, you make things exciting, and I know we are all excited for 2020 to get underway and for this coronavirus to be behind us. It was great catching up with you tonight and having a look behind the curtain. Sounds like you've got things ready to rock and roll. All we need is a little bit of luck here, and we will get under that green flag.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, everybody got to keep their fingers crossed and, you know, kind of stay away from spreading this. I call it the flu on social media, but at the end of the day, I mean, it may keep us away for a couple months. Hopefully the tour officials are kind of, you know, getting prepared, but at the end of the day, let's say we got to cancel May, June, July, or whatever the case may be. If we do have to have a limited schedule, like hopefully the towel's not thrown in on the whole year. Hopefully it's okay. Well, we're gonna miss the first half of the year, and maybe we do like four 250s: one at Scotia, one at Petty, one at Riverside, one at PEI. Like do something. Like keep everybody on their toes to be ready as soon as they drop the hammer on this virus, that we can say, okay, well, now this is going to be the plan versus, oh, no, we canceled the year and we're not going racing. Because, I mean, that's not what any of us want. I know nobody wants that. Nobody. I mean, we're all chomping at the bit to get going as it is here. Here it is April. Cars are ready. Garage doors are open today. Sun was shining. It's like, oh, my God, if I could look at this car in the shop all year, I don't know what I'll do.
Yeah, the neighbors are going to get sick of you guys firing them up and going around the block a time or two. I can guarantee
good thing,
that.
Yeah, exactly. Good thing they paved my subdivision here last year because I'll do the subdivision 700.
Well, it's good. It's good for 2/10 when they repave it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you guys should be the only guys with input on how they pave your street.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah, hopefully the neighbors don't kick me out of the subdivision.
Not a prayer. They're all fans. I can guarantee it. Craig, this has been great catching up with you, bud. I can't wait to see. I know we'll catch up with you. Race number 2 at Scotia Speed World. But I just texted with Ken before we hit the air just to make sure everything's still online. He said absolutely everything is full steam ahead until we get shut down. So the plan of the tour is to go full steam ahead. And I know Petty International Raceway is in that same boat as all of us are. We all want to see it. So fingers crossed, if there is a way, it will be underway. So it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to get things fired.
Absolutely, boys. Thanks for calling, having me on. Look forward to seeing you guys at some point, hopefully sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. That is Craig Slonwhite, driver of the 99 out in the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour. Dynamite guy, Junior. Dynamite.
Absolutely. Don't tweet him, though.
No, don't tweet
Don't
him.
Tweet at him.
No, he isn't going to tweet back to you, I can guarantee it. I've been trying to get, back and forth. And, yeah, like you say, I always get him on Facebook. And you got to check his Facebook page out. Slonwhite Motorsports. Check it out. Those kitchen parties out in Nova Scotia look like a blast. I'm going to, and it's cool. You can follow along on Facebook on a lot of them. We're going to hit break number 2. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Hey, everybody. This is Chris Morrill, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
Logano's in the wall. He'll slide up, and he'll slam. Oh, Saber Baron. He clips Larson. He'll send Larson.
The thrill of the race. Live from the track.
Definitely sliding into it, out of control.
It's unbelievable how quickly things can change in racing.
There's no weak spot.
You just never know how it's going to play out.
Insider access to the drivers.
We'll roll with it. We're enjoying it. We'll collect as many trophies as we can.
And the exclusive home to Happy Hours, hosted by Kevin Harvick.
It's the new normal. Better figure it out.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Canadian singer-songwriter Stephen Page.
I've been fairly quiet about political things over the last bunch of years. I moved to the United States. I can't vote there. I'm not a citizen. I can't vote here anymore because I've been away for longer than 5 years. And I was wondering whether I had a right to speak up or whether it mattered whether I spoke up. Closest to a conclusion that I could come is this is who I am. And the best thing I can be as an artist is honest.
Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167,
Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you close.
I want my MPG.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio on SiriusXM 167.
Ah, there's a nice summer song to come back to. And we are back with you live on Racetime Radio. I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight on SiriusXM Channel 167. Got to let you know, if you're listening here on the channel, it is a re-air of the program. There's no longer an operator in the Toronto studio on a Sunday night when we do the show. So we have to, after we're done the show, FTP it over to SiriusXM Channel 167, and then they air it on Sunday night at 9 p.m. Now, being as there's no one in the studio tonight, what you'll be listening to is last Sunday's show. So you're not going to miss the content here on the channel. It's something that we've had to do to swing things around until we get through this coronavirus and get someone back into the studio. Then we'll return to you live on Channel 167 on Sirius XM Canada Talks. But this is going to have to do for now. You can tune in to us live every Sunday night at 6:45 p.m. Eastern on our live stream. And you can get to it at racetimeradio.com and just click on the listen live there. And you will have the show in its entirety. But if you happen to have missed it, you can always tune in on the Performance Motorsport Network.com throughout the course of the week. They play the show 2 to 3 times. Also, on 98.9 XFM, Andy Ganish, Nova Scotia, you'll be able to listen to the program on there as well. Gearhead Country Radio, got to thank them. They get Racetime Radio up and out. And you can always, if you miss everywhere and you want to listen on demand, you can do that. Just get to iTunes and search Racetime Radio. Don't forget to click like and subscribe, and you'll never miss Racetime Radio again. So it's available on iTunes as well as on racetimeradio.com. So those are all the different outlets, and those are how you can tune into the show. But there has been some developments, Junior, that we got to pass on to everybody if you happen to have missed it. CTMP, Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, regrets the fact that they have to postpone the Castro Victoria Day Fest, the opener for the season, the May long weekend. It is postponed now. The NASCAR Pinty Series, Junior, that was one that you guys were going to fire up. But it's not going to happen now. Postponed. And I believe they're going to try and reschedule it. At least that's what the initial plan is to do.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Everybody, you know, obviously everybody talking about options and different things like that. Of course, we have a hard stop at the end of the year because of the weather, right? I mean, sure. Canada has a hard stop 100% due to weather basically from, you know, the beginning of October. It's, you know,
Your hard stop
is basically 2 weeks after the Thanksgiving long weekend. So, you know, it is what it is. Everybody's going to work towards it. And I think that you're going to see even more, you know, cancellations or postponements, obviously, going forward as we get closer and closer. It will be interesting. I know the Pinty Series has got, you know, a lot of weeks in there where you know, they have off weeks where they have the abilities to do some things to jockey the schedule around. And I think that, you know, once everything gets released and once, you know, we get past this virus, you know, the hunger for racing is going to be so extreme.
Sure it is.
That if you put a race on, it's going to be well attended. I think that that's going to be the case. So it'll be interesting to see the way of, you know, that everything kind of unfolds. I know there's lots of different corporations out there that sponsor teams. So I think some teams are going to go through some turmoil here just on the sponsorship side.
Oh, it's going to affect everybody.
It's going to affect absolutely everybody. So I think this year is going to be a different year, obviously, than anybody has ever experienced or thought of. But that being said, I think that, you know, by all accounts, you know, from all sources that I've watched and kind of partaken in, you know, I think we're going to have a race season this year, but it's going to look dramatically different.
Yeah.
Shaun White actually touched on something that was really interesting to me. And I think that approach is really cool. You know, the model of having, you know, 4 250s or 5 250s, yeah, out on the East Coast, same type of deal, in Ontario, I think that, you know, you've got the ability to run, you know, if a track's got two races, maybe they just get one or, you know, whatever. As if we get over this, it depends on the timeline, right?
Yeah,
if we're in this until July, I mean, you run up against the hard stop. So,
well, there's all kinds of scenarios.
Absolutely.
That could be drawn
out. You're going to see a lot of flexibility there. But I think that the neat part is that the sport has got that flexibility in it. We have the ability to be flexible, to be cordial, you know, and host the big events, get back to the racetrack in the right way, and you know, get back as safely as possible.
Well, when I look at this, if and I've been constantly thinking about short track racing on in Canada, mm-hmm. If there's ever been a time for short track race tracks to put an association together that is truly right across the country, for tracks to actually get together, forget about common rules, forget about, you know, let's just all sell the same pop so we can get a better deal. Forget all of that.
Yeah.
Have an association that is going to potentially or at least be able to put together something to lobby the government that they're so they can get some support into short track racing. There is no doubt in my mind that this, in the current condition that we are right now, and the forecast that is in front of us right now, looks like sometime in June or maybe July is when things are going to return. That is devastation for, I'm going to say, more than 50% of the racetracks that are in this country.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is going to be devastation for 40 to 50% of the race teams in being able to get out there again. It's not impossible. It's not going to wipe them out. Their car is still going to be sitting there.
Yep.
It's going to take a while to get the funding back together so that they can get out and use that race car on a limited budget or whatever.
Yep.
What I'm saying is if the racetracks, they have time right now to get together with one common goal, and that one common goal is to put together
an association
that is able to lobby not only the provincial governments, but the federal government to get some assistance to jumpstart the industry when it does fire up. It is going to need it. Trust me when I say it's going to need it. And if the homework isn't done now, it isn't going to, it's not going to, it's too big of a nut to crack on a quick basis. If they do put something together and they're able to go after the tourism industry, because there's no doubt there's going to have to be cash influx. And different ways.
But single tracks are not going to get cash influx.
No, no, not a chance.
Exactly.
That's what I mean. Yeah. They have to be together. And it's one for all.
Yeah.
It is one common goal. And it is one big problem for all those short tracks. I'll point at the horse industry, the horse tracks. They were struggling. They hit a real bad spot. And it had nothing to do with the virus.
No, no.
Nothing to do like it does today. And the government did, when they pulled together, the government did get in there and give those guys some assistance.
Yep.
And it's, they don't think of it. I know as all these racetracks are their own island, and, you know, maybe you got two or three linked together here, and, oh, these tracks are working together, and there's four of them over there. The economic impact, the amount of money that the government, whether it be provincial or federal, pull in from the racing industry in Canada is a significant value, a very significant value when you put everybody together.
They're large numbers.
When they're all standing alone, it doesn't look like much. Put them all together and then take a look at it, and it will blow your mind on how much impact there is into the economy. And into the tax base, whether it's provincial sales tax, whether it is, and I know here in Ontario, it's all harmonized. So you got GST and PST all in one. It's 13%. But have a look at it municipally.
Yeah.
You know, they're all paying tax. They're all paying, you know, property tax. All of these things are going to be key if there is an association put together for one common goal, and that is to lobby the governments to help bail this industry, or help, not bail it, help it sustain.
Yeah.
and put a little bit of a cash injection in there, it is going to go a long way.
Well, and
you know hockey and you know all those other sports.
Well, every business and every association is going to be in line, right?
They are.
And the thing about it is what we can see, you know, and talking off air, the motorsports world is not going to be in line for any of that.
No, and you know, they need to
be. there's going to be a lot of people standing, you know, with their hat in hand and not realizing what's happening in the overall industry. When you look at the camping association, every campground is part of the camping association.
That's right.
And when there's a lawsuit at one, they all stand together.
Yes, they do.
And they're recognized
as an industry.
When there is a municipal rule that comes that affects everybody, they all stand together.
Yes, they do.
When there is a natural disaster, they all stand together. It's all the way across the board. Every manufacturing segment has got an association. Every farming sector has got an association. Every
That's
professional
how they get
sport,
things done.
Every professional sport, hockey, football, running, cycling. I mean, there's an association. When you look at, and you touched on it, the economic impact portion, you know, when you look at a normal race team, we're talking to Craig Slonwhite, talking about buying a new car. You know, talking about buying a new car last year and racing his old car this year, we're talking about $200,000 in and around that ballpark for race cars and parts to operate both those race cars in over the course of a 2 to 3 year period. Right. We're talking about a tremendous amount of money to keep that race car on the racetrack all the way through. And there's thousands of Craig Slonwhites in North America.
Yep.
There's tens of thousands of them in North America. And all of that money just continually circulates around. It's even more important for not just the racetracks, but for the racing community to be a part of something.
Well, they need to support
racers,
but the tracks
exactly.
are the ones that need to pull together
yep.
to put an association together so that they can lobby the government
Agreed.
On this. Mm-hmm. The cool part is, too, not every association has got a media platform to stand on. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
We have got that. We've got a national stage
yep.
that we're going to be able to help the industry out.
Exactly.
And let them come on here. It's a question of they need to do it.
Yep.
They need to do it, and they need to really start thinking about it now. I don't mean just a couple of tracks here in Ontario get together or those guys out in BC. I'm talking somebody needs to pull the whole thing together, right across the country. It doesn't matter whether it's asphalt or dirt.
Yeah.
It's the short track racing industry in Canada.
Yeah.
And when you put all those numbers together, each racetrack, I can speak for Sauble right here. I know we've got 35 employees minimum. And every one of them are paying tax. And every one of them are contributing to all of it. Just take a look at that.
Yep.
And how many tracks multiply it out? What is the economic and the tax base?
Yep.
It's a big, big number. I'm talking millions and millions of dollars. And that is the impact. It is going to be threatened. I guarantee you it is going to be threatened with this virus if it continues over a month. And it's going to continue over a month. I believe it's going to.
Yep.
It looks like it's going to. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. To all the racetracks, we are here to help you. We are here to help the race team. We're here to service the industry. But, damn, we are here to help you as well. Without racetracks, there is nothing. So we need those tracks healthy, and we need them out there. And I know this is going to be a very, very, very big nut to crack, but it is possible. Think positive, get together, and that government, it's time. How much money do they invest in Hockey Canada? How much money do they involve in Soccer Canada? How much money is spent promoting Canada with a canoe on the front of the magazine in a mountain or a lake?
Yeah.
It is. We're more than fish and feathers. There is an extreme tourism in Ontario, and it's called racing. And
In Canada.
That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
But you know what? We got to throw it back to Toronto. We got the news and highlights to get you up to date on, and then we're coming back for hour two. Stay there.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM
Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
We're back with our number two of Racetime Radio.
With the two Joes
here on Racetime Radio
on SiriusXM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two begins tonight on Racetime Radio. Coming up this hour, you're going to hear from Chris Reed, driver of the number 31 in the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour. Yeah, he races in the Maritimes. He lives in Fort Mac, Alberta, and we're going to check in with him here in just a couple of moments. We'll also hear from, how about Cole Pearn? Everybody knows Cole. He was the former crew chief for NASCAR Cup champion Martin Truex. He knows how to get the job done. He's done with NASCAR now. He's living out in BC somewhere, and we're going to check in with Cole and find out how things have been. The jitters will be all gone. Daytona's long gone. And he'll be doing what he's doing. We're going to check in with him. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I wonder if he's been helping anybody with iRacing setups.
I bet you. How many times? I'm going to ask him this. How many times has Martin or the organization called Cole to find out about this, that, or the other thing?
And then
Martin,
after he gives his answer, we'll ask for the real answer after that.
Martin seemed frustrated when you look back to when the cars were actually on the racetrack. The last couple of races, it looked like Martin Truex was pretty frustrated. I'm not saying frustrated with the crew, but just generally frustrated.
Change, right? There's change.
Huge change.
And definitely, you know, it doesn't matter who it is, what part it is. When there's a change in an organization, it's definitely difficult. They were in a tough spot when they were on the racetrack, and it's definitely, you know, a portion of that is undoubtedly 150% because there's a different guy on top of the pit box. Is the guy that's up there doing a bad job? No.
It's
Is it different? Then when it's different, there's a learning curve there. And they weren't winning immediately when Cole Pearn jumped up on top of the box. It took time. But it took time.
Yeah, it did.
And the chemistry needs to be built. And definitely, it'll be interesting to talk to Cole and to see how everything's going. You know, there's a lot of people that we've been super fans for a long time of what Cole was able to do down there. It'll be cool to just catch up and see, you know, what his eyes are on, within the racing world and everywhere else.
Yeah, it's going to be dynamite. Joe, APC, presented by Grisdale, the APC series here in Ontario, is also doing the iRacing deal. They had a practice, I want to say it was Thursday night.
Friday.
It was Friday night?
Yeah, so Friday, April 3rd, there was a one-hour practice session to kick it off. But they announced it, April 2nd. They were going to start an E-Series. Of course, a lot of APC competitors, a lot of APC team members, a lot of APC competitors and fans are on iRacing. And they launched, an ambitious schedule, to actually hold an APC series, e-racing event.
Yep.
They build it at Lakeland Speedway, Lakeland USA Speedway. The APC 100 is going to take place on Thursday, April the 9th. Of course, you touched on it, April 3rd, Friday, they had their first one-hour practice session. There is two more. Tuesday, April 7th, coming up, there's going to be another one-hour practice session to get everybody dialed in. And then April 8 on Wednesday, there's going to be a two-hour practice session starting at 7 p.m. So
and the race is on the 9th, right?
The race is on the 9th,
yeah.
Correct.
So, April 9th.
They're going to be on track Tuesday and Wednesday and then Thursday for the race. Results from the first session, just want to take everybody through it. The fast time was set by Ryan Dyson, who yep. we just had on the program. Ryan Dyson's been a part of the you know, APC series for a long time, him and his brother. You know, he was fast time. Nick Ramsey, second place. Trayton Lapsevich, Tyler DiVorenzo. I hope I said your name right.
Yep.
I've said it a number of times, but Dale Shaw.
Dale
Shaw was fifth quick. Jade Franklin, the 31 car,
yep.
Sixth. In seventh, we see Blair Wickett. Ray Morneau, we see a couple times here and there in the APC series.
Right.
But Delaware competitor. Josh Stoddy, P9.
Ah, the 17 car.
Yep. P10 was Petey Shepard. Matt Lockwood. Jamie Dyson.
Yep.
Rick Burbridge. Andrew Camrath. Andy Camrath. Jordan House, driver of the number 8 car. Rick Spencer Walt. Carson Nagy. Jason Wood. Hudson Nagy. Jay Cox. Jesse Kennedy. Jordan Sims. Tom Gibbons. Luke Ramsey was back there. Luke got his ass beat.
Handed to him.
Sean Chenoweth, Sean Grossman, of course, owner of the 29 car of Ryan
right.
Kimball. Rounding out the field, James Grover, Jamie Grover, getting his car dialed in. Cool to see all those APC competitors and stakeholders in there.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk some more about it in a bit. We also want to congratulate right now, before I forget, J.R. Fitzpatrick and his wife.
Yes,
they just had a baby girl. Annalide, I believe, is her name. And just congratulations to J.R. Fitzpatrick on the family expanding. They're up to two now. That pit crew's getting a little bit bigger, everybody's doing well. So congratulations, J.R. Let's get back to the hotline, shall we? And we'll talk some more Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour. This next guest, he drives the number 31. He races in the Maritimes. And he lives and works in Fort McMurray, Alberta. He's on the hotline with us now, Chris Reed. What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Pretty good, guys. Just kind of trying to weather this storm of COVID-19. But other than that, we're all healthy and we're doing pretty good.
That's the stuff, Chris. That's what we wanted to hear. Now, I was looking at the weather the other day. My sister and my brother-in-law live out in Grand Prairie, Alberta. And my brother lives up just a little bit north of Edmonton. And having a look at the forecast, you guys are still getting a little bit of cold weather out there.
Well, we were. Today has actually been a beautiful day. It's like I was listening to Craig earlier. The door is open, and it's kind of like spring here today. Kind of really want to get going with racing here right now. But up until this point, yeah, we had quite a bit of snow. We had more snow in the last week and a half than we probably had all winter, so. We've been hanging right in there with the old man winter.
Nah, that's okay. It's going to be gone now. That was your last blast. We had that about 2 weeks ago here, I'll tell you, Chris. We got nailed. And I'm glad that's behind us. Snow's gone. Spring is happening. And like you say, it's time to get those race cars ready. Now, the 31 car, you don't prepare that out there in Fort Mac, right? Where do you guys take care of that car?
No, that's prepared in the King Racing shop in Pictou by Andrew and Corey and Rolly and Judy, them guys. They got a crew of people down there that are working on them all the time. And it was down in the States there, Fury. And it's actually still down there, but it's going to be coming back to Canada here pretty soon. I think Andrew's working on getting it up there in a truck. But get it back together and have it ready. That's, you know, when we get the nod to go with this stuff, we can kind of get right into it. But we're a little different with our schedule. I mean, a lot of them guys are starting, you know, basically a month ahead of what I usually do, just logistics wise and everything. We can't get there, so we weren't really planning on starting until June in Riverside anyway. So I'm hoping, you know, with any luck, maybe we can get our schedule on the go with the June race. But if not, like say the car, once it's done with Andrew and them guys, I mean, they'll have it ready to roll. And I mean, it was last time we sat in it, it was a rocket ship. I mean, we were starting to figure it out at the end of the season and get really fast with it. So I'm really chomping at the bit to get back in it. I mean, them Fury cars are, they're just unbelievable with drive. So I'm really, really looking forward to getting back to this, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. And for good reason, too, Chris. You and your brother, the number 42 of Kyle Reed, between the two of you, man, you both put on quality products on the racetrack, and both of you were given her last year. It's going to be an interesting season, no doubt, when we get that green flag in the air.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, and you know, you got to really go back to King, and I mean, the product that they're putting out. I mean, they're a Fury chassis, they're a Fury dealer, but they really got their homework done. You know, Andrew, Corey, Scott, all the guys in the shop, and you know, Rolly's still involved in it pretty heavily. Austin was having a pretty good run there this year, and I mean, he was just getting his feet wet with these super lates and these pro lates and stuff. But you know, when you see everybody in the stable that's running a Fury is fast, and it doesn't matter where we go, you know, I'm not worried about going to any racetrack and getting in the shows and being up in the front with these cars. It's just a learning curve. It's like nothing I've ever driven in my life. And once we started to figure out, you know, how you got to drive these cars, and they're different than the sportsman cars that we ran for years. Stuff's really starting to come together for us, and I wouldn't be shocked if you see you know, a bunch of Fury cars this summer in the Pro Stock Tour winning some races, because there's a few more of them coming out of that stable there with King, and I think everything's going to be people are going to really notice these Fury cars this summer, I think, when we get back to the tracks.
Yeah, absolutely, man. They've been you guys have definitely been sporty everywhere you guys have went, and you touched on kind of an interesting you know, predicament, if you will. Of course, the borders are you know, locked down right now through this entire deal. Now trade and everything is still continuing to come across the border, but non-essential travel and all of that stuff has been regulated. I imagine that if you went up and down the pit area of every, you know, track here in Canada, a lot of the different parts and pieces or cars or parts that are there originate from the U.S. in some way, shape, or form. Getting that car back across the border, has it been more intense than normal?
Well, I mean, it's still sitting there. Like, you know, we would have had it back already had none of this happened. We would have picked it up ourselves. I got to thank my father, Robbie. He's put many miles on between Nova Scotia and North Carolina in the last couple of years, taking these cars down for us, you know, getting repairs done at the shop there and taking them back and forth to King. And, you know, he puts in a full day's work some days just moving stuff around for Kyle and I and kind of helping us out with that stuff. And, you know, we couldn't do it without him and all the effort. I mean, I think at one time every trailer and every box that he owned was full of our stuff, and the garage was full of our stuff. And, I mean, you know, there's one of these times he's going to want to start charging for rent, I'm sure of it. But, you know, he's the one that usually does it. But now with all this going on, we're going to have to go another avenue. And that's kind of really, I haven't really been involved in a whole lot of that. That's between, you know, the car owner, Kyle Marshall, and Andrew from King. And they'll get that thing back up here. And, you know, I think parts are still coming up. There's still, you know, shipments and stuff is still coming through for them guys to have equipment to put on these cars and what have you. So I'm just hoping, like I say, we get this nipped in the butt pretty quick here, and we can kind of get back to whatever kind of a new normal we're going to have. But, you know, we're all in the same boat. We're just sitting here idle waiting for this thing to go away. We can get back in these cars, right, start putting on shows for these fans.
Yeah, and you're going to do a great job, I can guarantee it. So what's the schedule? I know you touched on it there. You guys are figuring out that you're going to take the 31 and go green in June sometime. But what's your schedule looking like, Chris?
Well, my schedule was going to be pretty much the Riverside races in the Pro Stock car. You know, and Ontario, we were going to try and get up to Ontario earlier this year and maybe get an APC race in and a test or something like that, you know, before Alex, them guys shut the track down for testing. You know, we just want to get some laps. We don't have near as many as them guys there. And with the quality of cars and drivers that have been showing up the last 2 years, and we know it's only going to get more as the purses increase. We're going to have to really get some more laps on that place and start to figure it out, right? So that was our schedule beforehand. Now we'll have to see how it goes. But I know I have a sportsman car that I hadn't sat in since basically 2 years, and I kind of want to get back in that there this year if I can while I'm home. If we're only going to do a few races, at least I can jump in that, and it's always been quick, and I can get some bang for my buck at home at the tracks, like, you know, run the Friday night shows and stuff like that before the pro stock races, right?
Yeah, absolutely. More laps, the better. Would it be a two-car effort when we see the 31 of Chris Reed show up? Would it be a shoe-in that maybe we'll see the 42 of Kyle Reed at the same time? Or are you guys going to go on a staggered schedule?
No, usually we're going to be at the tracks at the same time. I mean, whatever races I'm running, he's running. And, he was going to do some stuff down the U.S. this spring, and that kind of all got put by the wayside for him. So he'll be just as itching to get in the car as I am. We might even see him go back to his roots and jump in a sportsman car this summer if he's only got a limited amount of races. And that'd be fun to get him on the outside of me in turn four in Riverside again.
Yeah, that was a show. I can guarantee everybody would remember that one.
Yeah, we've had some intense moments with a few laps to go before.
Yeah, for a pair of brothers, you guys would never know it when it's the final couple laps at Riverside International Speedway. You'd never know that 42 on the outside is your brother.
No, I just look at it as another car. I mean, you know, your goal is to, you know, come across the line every time, one and two. I mean, I'd be lying if I said that I didn't want to be one, and he would probably tell you the same thing. But no, I mean, him and I have always had some good racing. He never ran as much as I did. And when we were younger, he went a different direction, and then he came back into it and jumped back into it for a few years in a sportsman car, and he had some success with that and won some races. And then he made the jump up to the pro stock cars before I did, and I kind of got ruined myself when I drove his car one night, and that was the end of it. And then I wanted to have one again myself, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the way that it works, right? You drive a late model, and all of a sudden you want to be in a late model. That's the way that it works.
Well, there's just nothing like them, especially them Fury cars. I mean, we had a Hampke car before that, and it was an older car, but I mean, it was still a decent car. But then getting in his car after being in that, you know, back-to-back weekends, it was just, I knew exactly what I needed and what I wanted after that from that point on, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Now, we have had the Butcher Boys on the program it wasn't last week, the week before, right? We had
right.
Cole. Was it
right.
last week we had Cole?
Yeah,
or the week before?
Last week we had Cole, and
yeah,
it was
the,
like
the week,
3 weeks,
3 weeks
ago, we had Jared.
So we had Jared on the program. Now, we asked this exact same question. Now, we already know the answer because we've seen you guys in action.
Yeah.
But hypothetically here, we're doing some bench racing. We can't go racing on our own right now. So, but we are you know, going to feed off the brotherly love here a little bit. So it's the IWK 250. You gotta think of this hypothetically here. It's the IWK 250. You're sitting second. He's sitting first. It's a green white checkered. Where do you use the bumper? Is it in one and two? Is it in three and four? And which lap? Is it the green lap, the white lap, or coming to the checkers? Where are you using the bumper?
Probably on pit road when we're leaving. I don't know. Like my. It's so hard to say. I mean, you know, you think about these things and you play these through your head all the time, and it never seems to really work out the way you intended it. But I wouldn't turn them around backwards. But I would give them enough. I definitely would give them enough bumper. I hope that I could get to the line ahead of them, and it would probably be, you know, going into three on the last corner.
All right.
Hey, this goes for both of you. I can guarantee this. If you do use the bumper, Chris, or Kyle, if you're listening, if you do use the bumper on either one, you're going to want to make sure that you give him enough bumper, because if he catches you, you've had it.
That's right.
You're getting it back.
Joe?
Yeah.
Kyle?
Hey.
but it'll be enough.
There you go, buddy. There
now,
you go.
Now, Jared Butcher didn't specify what damage was, but Cole went out and specified what damage entailed. And he said, as long as we don't need to use any welders after, it's successful and it's not damage. So are we saying that damage, like, is you're allowed to weld the bumper bars back on after, or is it just rivets and decal?
Fenders don't mean much. They make them every day.
That's right. There we go. 10-4.
And you guys have got dynamite crews, I can guarantee
absolutely.
You. At the end, all it's going to do is sell more tickets. The fans definitely know they're in for a show. When that Parts for Trucks tour shows up, and the 31 and 42 are out there, because both of you do a dynamite job, it's going to be interesting when we get things fired up. I got to ask you, too, guys. You got a track that is, I don't know how far Fort Mac is from Grand Prairie. It's probably a drive. But there is a couple of short tracks out there around you guys. Do you ever get the chance to put a car together and have it out there in Fort Mac and be able to go run on a weekend that you don't come back east?
Not since quite a while. When I had a Legend car, I ran it in Edmonton a little bit, and I ran Saskatoon. The way our schedule works is, I mean, we've got pretty much everything we have invested in these races on the East Coast. So when we're back here, we're kind of right back to work. We don't really have a whole lot of, time off to go do anything else. They have a dirt track here. They've kind of been getting it going the last couple of years, some four cylinder cars and stuff, but it's just one of them deals where we just, our Saturdays and Sundays are so consumed with working and family stuff and whatever else we got going on that when we're not here that we don't have the time for it, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. And I know every now and then you get an opportunity, Chris, to have a look even a little further out on the East Coast and eastbound international speedways out there. Do you think one day, just one day, those guys, Bob Smith and Mike James and all those guys out there, do you think they can look forward to seeing you one day?
Well, it's funny you mentioned it. We've been trying to get a deal together the last couple of years, and just schedules haven't worked out and with Dean Martin. So we're hoping that this year, he has two cars down there, and he's pretty much said that whatever car I want, I can jump in it. So I'm going to really try to get my butt down to Newfoundland this year and one of their bigger shows and jump in one of Dean's cars and see if I can go out and keep up with him and maybe push him around the track a few laps and see if we can have some fun with him.
It's so much fun.
Really gotta thank them guys too. I mean, Dean and his crew and Doug Critch, they've come over and they've been the ones that have been pitting me at the 250 for the last couple of years. And it was one of the things that held me back from doing this pro stock deal or whatever. We didn't have enough crew between the two cars to do this. And them guys showed up with their own trailer and their own tools, and they came in and they did a bang up job for me. And they were all green to this pro stock deal, and we had a great time. I mean, Andrew and Corey and them guys and Scott, they helped out quite a bit with that. It was a pretty smooth transition. We had Curtis does a lot. Curtis actually was a spot for me last year when Kyle wasn't there at the end of the season. So. And he jumps back and forth. He'll do whatever he needs to do and help whoever he needs to help. So it's a pretty big team effort. I mean, we have a guy from North Carolina, Matt Drake. He comes up and he gives us a hand. He's really good because when we got four or five cars at the track, Andrew just doesn't have the time to go and sit with everybody all day. So Matt and Andrew work off of each other and it works out really well for us. So we've got the quality of people there, and we have the quality of cars. And my mother does a lot of the logistics. I gotta thank her, because if it wasn't for her booking flights and changing flights and booking rental cars and hotels, I mean, there's probably days that we give her more stress over a race weekend than we do about a business deal. and my youngest brother, nobody really knows Jeffrey. Well, the guys in the Maritimes do, but you guys probably never met him. But he's the youngest guy, and when we're gone away racing, he's the one that holds the fork down and makes sure that we're still making money and keeps the business running. And we put a lot of pressure on him. He's 9 years younger than me, but he does a really good job for us in the summers. And keeps the fires lit up here and everything going for us, so we can afford to be gone for a couple of weeks at a time to these racetracks having our fun, right?
Right. It's all about people. And, Chris, you guys are surrounded by some great ones. Dean Martin out there on Canada's East Coast and all those guys. I hear what you're saying. You're surrounded by great people. I'll tell you what, the fans out there at Eastbound would love to see you out there. They know who you are. I can guarantee it. And it would be kind of cool to see you out on the rock at Eastbound. And the people, just amazing. I know we can't wait for 2020 to get underway. And when it does, you guys are going to play a big part in it. I kind of think this is going to be the year. Checkered flags. I don't know whether it's the 31 or the 42 that's going to get it first, but I believe both of you are going to be in line this year.
Yeah, I really believe that. I think we learned how to lose one at the end of last year for sure. And I mean that was close. I mean that car was a real rocket that night, and I wish I had that one to do over again. But like you say, we're close. We're going to definitely get something this year. Just hope we get back. Like say, car owner Kyle Marshall and his wife Ashley, they've given us a great piece to run, and they've been very supportive of this whole deal. And we want to get them a win. And mom and dad are due for one. It's been a while, so all them people that are helping out. I mean, we got all kinds of guys. You know, I got a friend of mine, Lyndon McDougall, down in Sydney. He's a sportsman guy that you guys I'm sure have ran into, and you know, he's been helping us a lot on these pro stock deals. And you know, it's just a great bunch of guys. I got a guy, Tommy, that's spotting up in Ontario for me a few times. He's going to do some spotting this year. Tommy Arnold, I'm sure Joe Jr., you know who he is.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, now, I will say this. While you're talking about Tom Arnold, he did it. Now, he sent me a message right before we jumped on here, and he said beers in Jucasa. That's what he said to me. Now, I don't know if he was going to buy the beer and supply it to me or if he was going to let me drink your beer.
Oh.
Now, which is it? I think it's him letting me drink your beer, just so you know. Now, I won't be there, but can I sell that spot to somebody? I'm just wondering if I could sell that spot, you know, it's because that means that he's offering 24 beers, right? That's the way that it works. Is that
well,
I mean, sell the spot. I mean, it's for profit. This is a for-profit enterprise.
Well, you know, you got to do what you got to do. Tommy's pretty good. Like he might even have his own beer. I'm not sure, but I know one thing for sure. It's good having him, especially up in Ontario, because he looked after me pretty good on the radio and at the track and everywhere. I mean, I walked out of the motel room at 6 o'clock in the morning, and there was a guy sitting there in an SUV waiting to pick me up. And the way to the track we went. I mean, you couldn't ask for much more out of your spotter in that predicament there. But and that kind of got drug out with the rain delay and everything that went on there. So we had a really, really good crew up there last year. We had a really good time. It was a lot of fun, just making that show with the limited amount of laps that we run a year compared to a lot of these other guys. I mean, most of these guys got a couple thousand laps under their belt before we even get in a car. So, that shows you how good of crews we have and how good our race cars are if we can show up there with a few races under our belt and do what we do, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's going to be awesome. You deserve it. You guys work very hard at this, and that success is just right around the corner, Chris Reed. We want to thank you for your time tonight. How can fans stay up with you social media-wise? Where do we point them to?
Well, we have a Reed Racing website. Jordan Fraser usually looks after that, Frank's granddaughter. We haven't been putting a whole lot of stuff up. I have the Twitter and Facebook and stuff. I don't really post a whole lot, but we have it on Facebook with the Reed Racing. And usually when we have something to announce, we have it on there, but I'm kind of old school with that. I still don't have the iRacing set up yet. I just learned the other day that my brother's been at it for a bit there now. So I might have to get something to keep up with him here.
Yeah, you're going to have to. It'll pay dividends, guaranteed. You'll figure out some of his moves.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I'm looking forward to getting some of them this summer. Hopefully we get back to a track and get to see all the guys again and get to see you guys. great, you know, you guys do a great job, you know, all your pick guys and the Tim Terry, what he does for the sport down there. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And, you know, JDM with the video they put up, we can watch our races, you know, basically the next day. I mean, it's sports come a long way since the old days. And, you know, I just really appreciate the job that Racetime Radio does for the local race. And even when we're here and we can't get to a race, I feel like I'm sitting at the racetrack or I'm sitting in the car the way you guys produce the shows, right?
Well, gotta love it, and thanks so much. We really appreciate it, and we know that those fans are listening out in Fort Mac. When you guys are either on the track, we know that they're tuned in, and we surely appreciate it. It's going to be dynamite, I'll tell you. 2020 is going to be the one. We'll get this virus out of the way, and then look out. It's going to be boatloads of fun.
Yeah, we can't wait. We're chomping at the bit to get ready to go now. Spring finally hit Fort Mac, so we're ready. I guess we won't be on an airplane right away, but we'll drive home if we have to.
I know. You guys would hitchhike home, I can guarantee it. Chris Reed, thanks so much for the time tonight. Thank Kyle for us, too, will you?
Definitely will, guys. Take care. Thanks for calling us anytime.
You want to believe it? That is Chris Reed, driver of the 31. You'll see him in the Parts for Trucks Tour. You'll also see him at Canada's Jukasa race at the end of the year at the big short track nationals. Sounds like they're coming back.
Absolutely. The Maple Leaf 250. The Canadian short track nationals. They had a lot of fun last year.
Yeah.
Up there.
Yeah.
They had a big setup. Man, I've been to a lot of big races and seen, you know, lots of big teams, and the way that they had their corral set up down there, you know, they had, I would say like 100 people there for breakfast there the one day. It was wild. I even snagged some sausage and bacon and off of their smorg that they had set up.
Yeah.
Just a great bunch, and for sure it just a lot of fun to talk to. And also I will say, Tom hasn't responded yet.
Yeah.
So I think it was his beer that he was giving away. I think it was Chris's beer.
Well, let's hope so. That is their first class guys, guaranteed.
Absolutely.
Each and every time. And you watch out. When we get that green flag in the air, remember, 31 Chris Reed, 42 Kyle Reed. You're going to hear those names lots on those live broadcasts. We will be back. Cole Pern coming up next. You don't want to miss it.
I'm through standing in line. The clubs I'll never get in. It's like the bottom of the ninth, and I'm never gonna win this. Life hasn't turned out quite the way I want it to be.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. I'm like, oh.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports.
MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of dunk sauce.
We don't even eat dunk sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL. Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself, Mad Dog. Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
And we are back with you live here tonight on Racetime Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We surely do appreciate it. What do you say we get back to the hotline? And let's welcome in a guy that I've been dying to talk to for a long time. Let's welcome in Cole Pern. He is with us. How you doing tonight, Cole?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic, my friend. Well, big adjustment for you this year. You got a little career change happening. You go from crew chief, championship crew chief, into doing what you're doing today. You're out in BC on a ski hill somewhere. What's going on with you these days?
Kind of like everybody else, not much going on right now. So pretty quiet these days. But yeah, we had a good winter and, you know, kind of adjusting to a new way of life. But overall, yeah, it went well. Obviously, everybody got the curveball that we've all gotten the last bit. But, up until that point, everything was going well.
It's been just a crazy beginning to the season. And then topple in everything that's going on today. It's the craziest times we could ever imagine. But just before this virus hit and the season had fired up, I got to ask you, how many times did your Canadian cell phone go off? And it was Martin going, "Hey, what did you do when we did this?"
I don't know, not too much. I mean, I just, I stayed in the loop with all those guys, and more so because they're my friends and stuff like that. You know, not that I'm going to really help with anything, but James Smalley took over for me, and he's one of my best friends. So, him and I talk most days, anyways. Yeah, so just stay in the loop as far as what's going on, and he's doing a great job. So yeah, it's just I don't know that it really helped, but I'm just always kind of there to talk, anyways.
I can well imagine, Cole. You were instrumental. You would have groomed all of those guys that are still with that 19 car today. You would feel like you're still there at this point, probably, and they probably still feel like you're just off on a suspension somewhere.
Yeah, that's kind of a nice thing with technology. I can still, I sit down and watch the race. I can log into, everything and watch everything that's going on and be in all the chats and everything. And like, you're still sitting there. So that's kind of unique, to be able to watch the race that way. It makes it a little bit better. It's hard to listen to commentators on TV. I really realize how much they don't know what they're talking about. So that's just an adjustment, but it's kind of nice just to be able to put it on mute, though, and or turn it off when you don't like how things are going and go do something else. So that's a lot different feeling for sure.
Well, if you just listen to the radio guys, all the radio guys know everything that's going on. So just so you know.
All right, maybe. They sure don't on TV, that's for sure.
I'm just kidding with you. Oh, man, looking at, and we got to touch on, the ability now, being out of the sport, and or not out of it, separated from it, however you want to put it. Being outside of the sport now, you can speak your mind and you can say whatever it is that you want to. There's not really any political ramifications. One of the tweets that you put out, talking about, the RTA putting the kibosh to the rules changes that was out there. Were you surprised at how much coverage that tweet still got, even though you're a washed up crew chief now and you're on the sidelines?
It's just, I don't know. It is kind of nice to be able to just, speak openly. I don't think anybody to a team is going to be able to say that in those positions. So that's kind of unique. Yeah. So that's kind of fun just to be able to say, you know, what actually is happening. And that's the truth, right? I mean, they
absolutely,
you know, they were, the original plan was to have a, you know, a short track rules package and then do the, you know, the 550 rules package on all the intermediate tracks. And, you know, it's really Penske is the one that, you know, is that, that pushed not wanting to, you know, have two sets of fixtures for everything, which is just, was ridiculous because, you know, everything was so different anyways. I mean, you're building totally different cars for the 550 races than what you were for, you know, the other races. So it was just, you know, a ludicrous argument, but that's what, you know, they pushed through in the power of politics. And then we ended up with a, you know, a short track package last year that was, you know, left a lot to be desired.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to kind of expand upon that, now being on the outside, when you have the ability, what, the thing that I noticed kind of the main portion of being there, now obviously you were in a completely different and more powerful situation and you were behind the Iron Curtain, if you will, but just the amount of information that is down there that doesn't get out to the public is something that is amazing to me, just looking at it from the outside. And it's got to be even more so for a guy like you because of being behind that and seeing all the meetings that take place. It's definitely something that, you know, there's a lot of information that could get out there to the fans that don't. And I want to kind of touch on that and expand upon that because I think that, you know, it would make the fan base even more knowledgeable about what they're watching. It's like there's a power to be there holding back a tremendous amount of information from getting out to the public.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. I mean, obviously, you know, watching the races on TV now and stuff, it's like I don't understand why there's such a resistance to talk about the technical side of the sport. You know, they want to sell more of the soap opera side of it rather than,
yes,
you know, the car racing side of it. And I don't really understand that, you know, too much. That, you know, they think that there's this fear of talking over the heads of, over their audience. And yeah, you're going to have some of that, but then you might also draw in, you know, some new audience. You know, I think, you know, the engineering level that goes on in NASCAR is, you know, really unrivaled, around the world in terms of other motorsports. You know, there's a lot of things that happen in NASCAR that are, you know, really, really leading edge. You know, mind you, they're specific to, you know, that style of rules, but at the same sense, they could advertise that more and, you know, and bring into it more, but I don't know. You know, it's just, they don't seem to want to, or they don't have anybody on. You know, I think a lot of it too is that, you know, they got a lot of ex-drivers and stuff like that, and, you know, the older crew chiefs they have reporting that the, you know, the sport's changed a lot since they were involved, and they just, you know, kind of talk about the good old days and that side of things. And yeah, I mean, that's just their MO. That's how they market it. So yeah, I don't quite understand it. I wish it was a little bit more where they advertise the technical side a little bit more. I think that'd be, you know, definitely more interesting, and I don't think there's any harm in educating the fan base more.
And so the technical portion, I echo that wholeheartedly. I absolutely, you know, the amount of information that could be out there talking about the nuts and bolts of the sport. I mean, it would be so intriguing to hear that side more. But then also on the flip side, for you know, the general fan base, what do you feel about the level of you know, fear of talking about the small teams in the way that they are and versus the big teams in the way that they are versus saying that everybody's on an equal playing field? Do you think that there's merit to talking about the fact that the field should never be equal because it's stock car racing?
Yeah, that's tough. I don't know the right answer to that. I mean, I think, you know, you go back to the history of racing, there's always, you know, there's always the haves and have not, you know, in every series of,
absolutely,
you know, over time. So, I mean, it's just, yeah, I don't know. I don't know the right answer to that at all. Yeah, I'm not trying to put you
in a corner there. Sorry, man.
No, I mean, and that's one thing I find aggravating, you know, not to knock on Jeff Gordon, but I mean, if he's not, you know, talking about a Hendrick driver, and then he's not really talking about anybody else or somebody he's buddies with. You know, it's kind of weird. So I don't know. I think, you know, a lot of people get glanced over, but yeah, it's, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I wish they'd talk more like on the strategy side of the race. Like, you know, the other race I was watching, you know, there's a lot of key pit strategy going on in the middle of the stage, and they were just like talking about something completely different. And like, came back to it that there was this pass to lead on, you know, on pit road, and they didn't even really highlight what actually happened.
Yeah.
Kind of mind blowing to sit back and watch. I'm like, you guys just missed like super key part of the race right here.
And that's the thing, Cole, you would pick up on a lot of stuff that Joe Public wouldn't pick up on because you've been the guy on top of the box and making the strategy calls. That always boggled my mind when I'm watching the success that you and Martin and your crew had with the 19 car. I kept thinking to myself, man, what are these guys doing that is so much different than the other guys? Because you were distinctively better than the other teams that were out there, and it was it was noticeable. Some days.
I don't know. We had a lot different, you know, a lot different system than other teams. How they operated, you know, we were a lot more scientific based. You know, which is difficult to do. It's a full commitment to kind of work that way. But you know, we always worked on our systems and kind of believed. You know, we didn't really notes race as much as we. You know, kind of re-engineered the problem, you know, constantly. So that's kind of how we chose to operate. But I, you know, we're definitely one of the unique teams I know, you know, that ran that way and operated that way. So yeah, it's good to see it. You know, I think, it doesn't always work. You know, it was a struggle for us when, you know, the more they condense the schedule, the less time you have to work on it through the weekend. And that was a tricky adjustment for it. You know, other teams just sit there and twiddle their thumbs and not really working on anything, saying that they can cut the schedule down. And meanwhile, the teams that are actually working and doing stuff, you know, need the time. So I don't know. That was always frustrating to me too. It's just you get these managers and stuff like that are just have these jobs that no one else wants, and they go to these meetings and then dictate everyone else's life. Yeah. That's kind of how it goes. So, but I think that's just true of any realm of the world, so to speak.
We're with Cole Pern tonight. He's out in BC now. He is a championship crew chief in the Cup Series with Martin Truex, and he is now up here in Canada. So how is things going with the change in life and the change of everything? How's it been going? You've been skiing a lot. What's going on?
Yeah, just getting readjusted to life in Canada. You know, it's been, you know, I moved to the States when I was 24, 25. So, you know, bulk of my adult life was in the States. You don't really realize that, you know, I was identified as being Canadian, but, you know, just, a lot of little things that are nice being back in Canada that, you know, things you didn't realize you missed that, you know, are nice. And just the people, you know, just, you know, general, you know, the general care of people and just the niceness and that side of things. And just, I think you find that everywhere, but I mean, just being able to step out of the rat race that I was in. And I don't think I really realized how busy I was. So that's been an adjustment. So it's been nice, you know, it's just, not being on the same time zone every week and going to bed at the same time, waking up at the same time, is little things like that just have been, you know, an adjustment and a nice thing to have. And, I mean, work-wise, our business that we bought was going well. Obviously, we had to shut down, you know, a little bit early for winter season because of the little pandemic. But, you know, up until that point was good, and it was just nice to have a new challenge to, you know, something to learn and something to dig into. So it's been all positive for sure.
I bet you got the fastest skiers too going down the hill. Somehow or another, you'd have those going faster than anywhere else. The Olympic guys from Canada will be calling. You know that?
No, I'm good. No, I'm an amateur. That's for sure.
Cole, you have come away from racing. Do you ever see a day where you will get involved with it again? Is that off the table? Have you changed and, you know, you're going to come away with those memories and that'll do you? Or do you think you'll get back in?
I don't know. It kind of remains to be seen. I think, you know, at some capacity at some point, maybe, but I just don't. The biggest issue for me is going to be, you know, the time and travel commitment, you know, to be, I kind of always said to, you know, to be successful in it, you got to be all in. And I don't know that I'm ever going to be ready to be back all in again. So then at that, you know, from that standpoint, does it really ever make sense again? I don't know. So, we'll see. Yeah. I just, you know, kind of see how things go, but right now, no, I don't. I definitely, you know, I was planning to still go on to do some races this year. I was going to be the second spotter at all the road courses, so that's all up in the air now. So.
Yeah.
But I think that would be enough, you know. So.
Well, CTMP, we got the trucks coming in. You can always come up here to the Silverado 250. I'm hoping that's going to take place on Labor Day weekend.
Man, who knows, right?
I mean, what you need to do is you need to build a late model. A Cole Pern late model would be... I mean,
no desire to do that.
I know, I know.
Been
I know.
There, done that.
Well, it's just hard, right? I mean, it's just, again, it's like, it's been so far removed. So, I mean, yeah, you get into it and then, you know, it's just going to continue to evolve and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm not saying no to not being into that at some point or some other forms of racing even, you know. I don't know. I really don't know. Don't know what it is. I've been so locked into one thing for, you know, for 12 years, only focused on one form of racing. So it's definitely takes a little bit of time to kind of to step away from that and really see what it is that you want to go do next.
Nothing wrong with watching it on TV like the rest of us. We all love it because, like you say, you can turn it off when you don't want to watch it. You can turn it on when you do.
It is a lot shorter day, I will tell you that. You know, being able to go do something during the day and then come back and watch it and then turn it off when it's over compared to getting there 7 hours before the race and during the whole thing and then flying home afterwards, it's not even... It's a very different Sunday, I'll put it that way.
Well, unlike you, we never hear the name Joe Chisholm pop up in the broadcast like they say Cole Pern. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, I get to... I'm still friends with one of my buddies, does all the stats for the TV guys, so I can at least complain to him and then get them to straighten out what they say on TV about five laps later. So I'm still have an impact.
Still got some impact. Now you got the ski hill in the winter, and like you say, things have pretty well come to a stop there. Now the snow is going to melt. What are you going to do all summer? What do you got plans for the summer? Is the business a summer business as well?
Yeah, they do. We do backcountry hiking during the summer, so it's like kind of hut-to-hut, you know, remote hiking, which is really sweet. So who knows how much this will trickle into the summer business. It doesn't really start till July, so yeah, I don't know. I was really looking forward to that side of things. So yeah, we'll see. Just like the rest of the world, just gotta sit and wait and no matter what your plans are or whatever it is, it's not really up to you. You just kind of along for the ride.
Yeah, well, just so you know, those bears that are hibernating right now will come out of hibernation. They are real.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, they get them through town and stuff. And then, yeah, we're building a house this summer, so hopefully starting on that in the next couple weeks. And, yeah, we'll be fine plenty enough to be busy with, I'm sure.
You gotta love it. Has Martin come up and strapped the boards on? Have you pushed him over the hill yet?
He says he will when he retires, so who knows when that'll be, but he says he's definitely he'll get up here maybe in the summer for sure. So,
well, it's been awesome catching up with you, my friend. We've been thinking of you. I know Junior and I have talked about you lots, and it was sure great to get you on the program tonight and at least get caught up this far. We'll give you a little more time and we'll do it again. What do you think?
Yeah, sounds good. No, schedule's pretty open these days, that's for sure.
You're the man, Cole. You gave us all a reason to really lock into the Cup Series. And, man, we still enjoy the Cup Series. It is different without you on that 19 car because I don't know who to pull for now when I'm sitting there watching the race.
Oh, it's easy for me. I'm the biggest 19 fan there is, so. They're a lot of great guys on that team. I know that. There's a lot of other teams I wouldn't be fans of, that's for sure.
What you could do is sell your knowledge to the DraftKings community. I imagine there's lots of people that bet on the every given weekend, and I know the knowledge, that's still valuable. Ah. That's a business opportunity.
I'll start a gambling corner, for sure.
Absolutely. A fantasy racing with Cole Pern from Canada.
Yeah, maybe.
And you'd kick ass doing that, too.
Someday.
That's right.
Cole,
right.
This has been great, buddy. You have a good one, and hang in there. Stay at home. Stay hunkered down. This thing will pass, and we'll all have a blast.
Yeah, you guys as well. Stay safe. Stay healthy.
You betcha. That's Cole Pern. He is having a blast out there in BC. New business, new change of life.
Absolutely.
How about that? You know, when one door closes, another one opens up.
Absolutely.
And no door closed on Cole. He decided to swing that door shut and open that one over there.
Yep, absolutely. And definitely cool to hear the progress, and just a great guy, a fixture in Canada, and a fixture in Canadian motorsports for sure. I am surprised, though, that he just shot the late model deal down.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Cole Pern wheel a late model?
Well, he's done
at Delaware Speedway?
Done
man,
it.
That dude could wheel. It was awesome.
But he hasn't got a Delaware right there either, right?
Yeah,
he's got some nice tracks out there. I'll give you that.
There are some nice tracks in BC.
There is.
But, I think back to the Great Canadian 200 at Delaware Speedway. He was in the number six, just a rocket ship. And wrecked down in 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
Cole Pern, was putting a whooping on the entire field that day, and he ended up getting turned around, and it didn't end the way that he wanted it to. But I think back to watching him in a late model at Delaware Speedway. He was just a monster.
He was the original Kubota guy, right? I believe Cole was the Kubota guy
in Cascar.
Well, speaking of Kubota guy, I reached out to Jason Hathaway to try and get him on tonight's show. Never heard back from him. The Kubota guy.
The Kubota guy didn't call you back.
No.
Well, one Kubota guy did.
Well,
so
we'll try and get that Kubota guy on again next week. I know they had some announcements there at their team. They got another guy coming in to partner with Jason.
Yep.
But we'll save that all for next week on the program. That APC race, any coverage anyhow? How does somebody watch that?
I don't know the answer to that. You're surprised.
Can they listen
don't
to
surprise
it?
Me with questions. I need to be prepared ask me questions.
I know Kent out on the east coast of Canada will be saying, hey, how do I watch that APC? I've seen it on there. Or how do we listen to it? How do we do something with it? And I don't know. I don't know the answer to it. We will, I guess the best you can do there, Kent, is follow APC Series on Twitter. And I can well imagine when Luke's got something, he will put it on there and let everybody know that way. Because we don't know anything. We haven't heard anything. And we'll try and whatever we get for information, we will definitely pass it along to absolutely everybody. But that sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun for the APC guys. In iRacing, that seems to be what everybody is doing now to keep entertained. And we got to do something from going crazy. And that's definitely a good way of going. But, Junior, that's going to do it for you and I here in the Racetime Radio studio for this week. We really appreciate absolutely all of you tuning in. And please let your friends know that they can tune into Racetime Radio as well. And if there's somebody that you would like to hear from on this program in the coming weeks, make sure you send us a message. You can do that on Facebook, or you can do it on Twitter, at Racetime Radio. Or you can send me an email, joe@racetimeradio.com. All those different ways of getting a hold of us. Let us know who you want to hear from on this show, and we'll definitely do our best to try and get them on here and talk about the stuff that you want to hear about, and we'll expand things. That's exactly what our goal is to do. You got lots
there's
on
no,
there?
Yeah. There's,
you're looking. You're
I'm
looking but you're not finding nothing.
No.
I looked, too. Couldn't find anything. But you know what? That does it for us. Got to thank Suzy Q right here in the Racetime Radio studio. And, again, thanks to you. You have a good week. Be safe. Stay in the house. Let's get this virus gone so that we can get back to what we all love to do. Be safe, and we'll catch you next week right here on Racetime Radio. Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.